Welcome to Christ Today. Every one of us needs Jesus. Some of us know that we need Jesus now, and some of us know that we need Jesus before we die. And no one knows when our life will be over, so choose to have Jesus in your life now. We seek to know the truth, and the truth is that God loves us, and God is real, and the Bible is true. And we all become convinced of this truth in one way or another, sooner or later. And some will know this truth soon, and some will wait. Well, Lord Jesus, we pray for all of mankind to know the truth of Jesus Christ and to live their life as Jesus would have them to live. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Well, sometime we are driven to understanding by God or by circumstance or by love, and we all turn to Jesus in our own way as we go through life. And let us pray that all people are faithful to God through Jesus Christ as we go through life. Yes, pray for the very many people you know and the people around us, our family, our friends, the pastors, and the people just in leadership positions in our government or in our community. Everyone needs prayer. And pray for yourself also. We all need prayer. I see from the events around us that are going on in the world that we have reason to be concerned for much of the world. And I say this because of what I see written in the Bible and what I have seen as I have gone around in the world, and I have seen troubles and events and blessings and wonderful things. Just everything goes on, but we have patterns that tell us what is coming if we just study history, study the Bible, study what people do. Because men do things, and we know that from our own life, and we can get a pretty good idea of what is coming. And it's good to be prepared for those just-in-case situations around us. Often when I talk to people, I will hear somebody says, well, we know God said it's coming, the troubles and trials and life, so maybe there's nothing we can do about it, and we just ought to accept that some trouble is coming. And yes, that's fine. But I also look at scripture, like on Proverbs 27, and it says that a wise man sees trouble coming and gets out of it, is out of the way of trouble. The wise man avoids trouble. So that's something that every one of us can do, to see trouble coming, whether it's a natural event like a hurricane or a tornado, and we can get out of its way. Or we can stock up on food and supplies. And then there are things that come along like earthquakes, which we don't know are coming. They come as a surprise. But we do know that some areas are more prone to have earthquakes than others. However, in these days we have seen, just like the Bible says, earthquakes in diverse places. So earthquakes will come suddenly, and they will hit us, so to speak, over the head. That's my thinking of how to say it. But earthquakes come unexpectedly, and they do make a great deal of tragedy for people. So get prepared for all sorts of things, whatever you can think of, and get a little preparation for the just in case. Now, we do have plenty of things that could happen, and so I hope that this little reminder will motivate you to get things ready and prepared for the just in case. Everyone needs a little bit of emergency, whatever it is, food and supplies, because everybody has unexpected things happen. Sometime it's just ordinary. It's something with a car. It's something with a first aid matter of our fingers or something. Things just happen, and it's good to have a little preparation. Of course, there's always the big things that happen in life, and you never know when those are going to happen either. So have your right relationship with God and with your neighbor. And that reminds me of Matthew 22:38, to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So there are things that we are told in the Bible about how to live, and it sure helps us when we do. It's a good way to get along with people, whether it's for a day or a week or a year or a lifetime. Let's try to get along with people and not compromise on the Word of God, but be a good neighbor. Well, in the old days, I think about what people used to do. They used to get prepared in ways that we just don't think of today, because there were the seasons that we grew our food and picked the fruit, took the potatoes out of the ground, or cut the grain, or used later on. And that's something we just kind of forget about how to do, because we have the grocery stores that are full of food year around. And that could change any time. We just don't understand what could happen, because we live in a wonderful America with a wonderful system of resupply of food and all sorts of supplies. But look at the rest of the world. What happens to the rest of the world? They experience far more shortages than anything we understand in America. And that means if it happens there, it can happen to us also. And we ought to be prepared for the just in case. People throughout history have had shortages and little problems here and there. Today we have grocery stores that provide food for us whenever we want and as much as we want. But even that is changing. We see the governments of the world are restricting the export of some food, maybe of rice, maybe of wheat. But there are things that are changing right now in the world, as the rest of the world has trouble with producing all the food that it would like to have for its population. Governments have restrictions. That's just what governments do. They also have a central bank. Ours is called the Federal Reserve. And these Federal Reserve national banks, they also have their own idea about how to deal with money or control money or print money and how it will benefit the government and the people of that country. Same with the United States. And somehow we have things going on which we don't really understand, because it's not common for us regular people to be concerned about what happens with big money. But some people are, and some people have a concern, and some people have no concern. I know, where does that leave any one of us? It leaves us to know that it's good to have some concern and not to be worried about it, but have some of the things for the just in case, just like we have a supply of food. Let's have a supply of savings for the just in case we need it. In case there's a car repair or a house repair or somebody that has a need in our family. Have some preparation for the just in case, whether it's water, food, warmth, money, or whatever it is, a relation with people, have that going so that you help other people and other people help you. That is a form of savings also. And it's wonderful to be able to have someone help us with this and with that. So that's a part of what we can all do and plan as we go through life and see what goes on between countries and between communities, our neighbors, our friends, our churches, all of this. Let's get along and not compromise the Word of God. Let us live according to the way God tells us to live. It's biblical. It's right in the Bible, and it helps us to live a good and decent life where people can depend on one another. It's a good thing. So study the Bible, study God's Word, and see how to live. Now, all over the world, there are countries that are they're buying supplies. China is buying food and supplies. And some countries like India and other Asian countries are not selling their white rice or brown rice because they are anticipating shortages. There's shortages of coffee, of cocoa. And there's these things that some of them are in short supply, and so the price will increase according to economics and according to what other countries are doing to hold whatever food supplies they have. Just like China is holding rice, wheat, and corn in warehouses. We wonder what they could be anticipating for them to be holding about 60% of the world supply of wheat, rice, and corn in warehouses. So just think, if America were to have a food shortage or a famine, who do you think would share their food with America? Would China share their food with America? Would India share their food with America if America had a famine? Well, it's something that we all can do individually right now. Right now, each one of us can have a storehouse of grains, of food, of rice, wheat, beans, corn, all sorts of things we can have a supply of, lentils and split peas, all sorts of things. And we never know when we're going to need it, but it's good to have a little supply. And then have some spices along with that so you can make the food more appealing. Like salt and pepper are just good, but so is cinnamon. And there are other spices as well. We all have a different idea of what spices we would like to use on food. So we all can think about what we can do to have some extra of this or of that. I know there's a lot of people who expect canned foods to be good to have. Oh, but they are good to have. Canned food is good to have. It lasts, and it lasts very long time. Once upon a time, a few years back, I was relying on canned food for my, for what I ate for I guess it was 2 weeks or something like that. And I found out that I would eat about 5 cans of canned food a day. And that adds up. When you think about 5 cans of food a day for a week, well, that's 35 cans of food. Now, if we think of 35 cans of food, that's more than many people have in their storage. So you think about what it would take to actually live on the food that you have in your house. And by the way, are you going to like what you have in those cans? Some people really don't like canned beans and canned anything. They only want fresh food. So it's something that we all get to make a choice about. What do we want? And you get to look at all of that question about what you would like to have as you think about your emergency food supply. Emergency supplies are good for all sorts of things, whether it's air for your tires or gas for your car, water for your food, water for anything that you use to live. So it's good to have several 5-gallon containers of water, again, for the just in case. There have been a couple of times when the water main has broke and I did not have water for a day or two. That's happened twice in my life. And you just get to realize how important it is to have a supply of water. Yes, to drink. Yes, for all your household needs. So have a few gallons of extra. I think those 5-gallon containers of water is a really good idea. And so remember the food preparation too. So much food preparation takes water along with it, not to mention the water that you use to wash your dishes and pots. So just have a think about what you might be wanting to have if that little emergency ever does come up. And now we're finding more and more people do have those little emergencies come up. Some of them are natural disasters. Some of them are just a mistake that somebody made. And now you don't have electricity or water or something. So give a little attention to that and have your emergency supplies just on hand. There's always a question of if you should have anything that is flammable, and I don't know what to tell you about that. It's a personal choice, a personal decision, but it is also something that if we did not have gas for our car, oh, we sure would miss it. If there was no diesel for the trucks, the delivery trucks, oh, we would, I don't know what we would do. But we would miss it. And I think of just days ago in Russia, Ukraine sent drones over to Russia, and the drones bombed a gas and diesel storage facility. And Russia lost 1,000, it was 100,000, yes. Russia lost 100,000 gallons of diesel fuel. And it also lost the tanks that those fuels were stored in. So we know things happen. They happen in other countries, and therefore it could even happen here in the United States of America. In the last years, there have been some pretty big surprises that have come along, whether a gas pipeline was shut down or a train derailed or a train caught fire. Those are things that have just happened in the last few years. And so we have to be aware that all sorts of things can happen even in the United States of America. We know that there have been problems with our food production plants. They have burned, they have caught fire, they have had an airplane run into one of them and destroyed the food facility. All sorts of things have been happening. We have had thousands of cows that have been destroyed. We have had millions of chickens destroyed. And what does that mean for our food supply? It means we have an uncertain situation. And the best way that we can make our food situation certain is to have our own supply of food for the just in case. Now, often enough, We think somebody's going to help us. We think if we have an accident or a natural disaster, somebody will come to help us. Somebody will come to feed us. We think of our government as helping. We think of the Red Cross as helping. We think of churches as coming to help us. But for everyone who comes to help, you have to realize these people, these organizations, do not have any supply of food, of water, of anything else. They have to buy it just like you and I would have to. If they want food to distribute, they have to buy it right out of the distribution of food or materials. And therefore, if one part of the supply chain is being taken from, it has to get it from somewhere else. And that just means we might as well get our food and supplies now while we are able, because if we wait, we never know if they will be available or not. What will the big warehouses do? They just get the material in and then send it out on trucks for the emergency people. They don't have warehouses full of food and materials. And that's something which, if we want a supply of food and materials, we have to get it ourselves. We have to buy it in advance. And that is what the prudent person will do, so that they have a supply of food and materials. We store up. And storing up is a biblical concept. When we know that trouble is coming, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us that trouble is coming, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, all tell us that there will be earthquakes and famines and war at the end of the age. And there are so many people who want to tell us we are at the end of the age. Now, we don't know the exact timing. We certainly don't. But we know that things are getting closer and closer. Well, we have things going on around us in every country. And we know that there have been troubles in every country. We know that there have been unhappy people in every country. And sometimes those people will protest and say, government, you need to do this or not do that. And do you notice how responsive the governments are? They are not responsive to the people. They do not change hardly anything. And around the world, there have been a few hundred thousand people demonstrating, marching, in every capital of the world. I can't say every capital, but I can say that it happened in Paris, in Berlin, in Rio de Janeiro, and Mexico City. Many countries of the world, we have seen these big, large protests where people say that they want change. And you know what the government does, right? They do nothing. Nothing, really. And so the people just get to live with it and be forced to do whatever the government tells them. The police come along and they tell the protesters, move along, stop protesting, and if you don't, we're going to take our rubber bullets out and shoot you. Ho-ho, that's happened plenty. Oh, Britain and Australia have eliminated guns, but they let their police shoot the protesters with rubber bullets. All very interesting. I cannot tell you what it means. All I know is the people don't have as much voice and power as they used to. And I think of China's Chairman Mao, who used to say that power came out of the muzzle of a gun. And so when I think of those policemen with rubber bullets, it makes me think of their power over the protesters. So I don't know where it will all end up, but I know that we have things happening in the world, and each one of us wants to do what is sensible for us and our family, our friends, our neighbors. And we have people that are unhappy with what is going on. I know there's a whole lot of people that just expect to be raptured before any trouble occurs in their town, in their state, in their country. And I think of Corrie ten Boom. Oh, towards the end of her life, this is about 1960, there was an evangelist conference in Chicago, and she stated there that there were many Chinese Christians who suffered and died because they were told by the American missionaries in China that they would all be raptured before any trouble came. And so they were unprepared for trouble. Trouble came, and they were unable to function in their society because they didn't have any supplies or any way to get through the hard times. And we know that communism was in China in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, all over China, and it made great hardship for the people. So I think there is a good reason for preparing for the unexpected, and we don't know what it is, but we know that things can happen, and things do happen in the world, and we wonder if they can even happen here in the United States of America. And I say, yes, if it happened there, it can happen here. And we could have hard times. They can happen. So let's get a little bit prepared for if there is some kind of an emergency in our city, in our state, in our country. Things happen, and emergencies happen. I know there's all sorts of things we don't expect. I know that there have been a loss of jobs lately in the restaurants all across, well, California for sure, and United States of America. The restaurants have been closing permanently. I think that number is 4,000 restaurants in California this year. And we know about the chains of restaurants that are closing across America. It's something that is going on, and we know that troubled times can come. That's something we all want to be prepared for, and that means have a supply to get you through a time of just in case. We even have trouble with our federal government that is spending this country into bankruptcy. We have things that just could turn into very hard times in really short order. And of course, we don't know what will happen, but we know that things can happen in the United States. And in the rest of the world, there have been many things that have happened already. There have been political hardships, economic hardships, spiritual hardships, and we can even look what has happened spiritually in the world. Will it cause countries to collapse? Well, we know it sure could, and it has happened in the past. And we know that there is Revelation chapter 18 about Babylon has fallen. Is that going to happen? Is that going to happen to our country? Well, we know that it could. And I think of, it talks about the merchants of the earth watching the smoke arise from Babylon the Great as the destruction is great. Could that happen here? Yes, of course it could. Oh, and that's something which Having a little bit of preparation can make things so much easier. That makes me want to urge you to have some preparedness now and soon for the just in case. Now, there's plenty of people who will argue the USA is not Mystery Babylon. And there's plenty of people who will argue that United States is Mystery Babylon. So we have a question of what it means to have a little preparation is to survive the hard times and be able to do the will of God as we go through the difficulty and the recovery time of our community, our country. Just have a little bit of preparation, or a lot of preparation. Everybody has a different idea about what we do and how much, if anything, to have. It's a matter of individual choice, but I know that in the past, in lots of countries, in lots of history, people have survived a really hard time because they had some preparations. And we do want to be prepared. Preparation makes me think of Matthew chapter 25 with the 10 virgins that are all prepared. They want to be prepared for the wedding feast. Five of them were prepared and five of them were not. And five of them went into the wedding feast and five of them that were unprepared were shut out. Yeah, outer darkness, not very nice. And what does that mean for you and me? No, I can't tell you what it really means. All that I can see is that there is a principle of preparation that is good. And I think about Joseph and how he prepared Egypt for famine. And he stored the grain, 7 years of grain, for 7 years of famine. And right now, we are having things happening, yes, in the world, and yes, in the United States of America, things that could very well turn into famine. And that's the thing. God tells us that if we are not going to follow His way and His will, we do have the woes, the four woes that are in the Bible. Famine, disease, warfare, pestilence is often called one of them. So we just have things going on that we can realize that having a supply for our own family to eat is a good idea, because we don't want to have the problems that other people in the Bible have had. So read the Bible. Obey God. Obey the Bible. It's God's word. And sure, we can look and try to understand what the whole Bible means. We all have a different idea. And see, that's one of the most interesting things about the Bible. The more you read, the more that you see it applies in this situation or that. The Bible is God's word. It is God communicating with us. And certainly we want to be blessed by God, but we also know there will be some that are blessed and there will be some that are shut out into outer darkness. And not a one of us wants that to happen to us. So what is it going to take so that we are prepared to live for Christ and not be shut out into outer darkness? Well, I say read the Bible yourself. Obey God. Obey God's word and see what it says. It certainly is different from what most of us expect. I know that's happened to me so many times. I think I know a passage. Well, I pretty much do. But when I read it and see how it relates to other nearby passages, I say, oh, that's more than I realized. So it's something that we can all learn a little bit more about how the Bible applies to our life and how we can obey God's word. It helps to read God's word and know what it is. So that's what I certainly encourage every one of us to do, is read God's word and understand how we can obey it. So many times we think of listening to what the pastor says and how we can do what the pastor says. Now, we can learn from what pastors say very well, but we can also learn from what the Bible says. And if the Bible is God's word, that's just wonderful to read that. God's letter to us, it's the Bible. Let's read it. Well, we all have an opportunity to listen and to obey what the Bible says. Now, some people say we have to obey a church person or a pastor. No, I think we all need to obey God's word. That's really what our big desire is. And then we see how we can do it better and better as we study more and more of the Bible. After all, we do want to be obedient to God and spend eternity in God's heaven. Yes, and that means we want to know God. We want to know Jesus. We want to know the Word of God, the Holy Bible. So, pray and read and pray again. Pray for the people around us. There's so many people who need prayer. Prayer for people we know or in love, in our family, or our church family, pastors everywhere, people who are doing God's work. The way they understand they are doing God's word, there are many missionaries all around the world trying to get by, trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. So they all need your prayer too. Remember the people that are doing the will of God, kingdom work, I think of it as, and they are many. So as you think of it, please remember to pray for the people. And we all go through a time when we need God's discernment to try to understand this or that. We need it in our normal day-to-day life. We need it as we study the Bible, as we live in our Christian community. So let's try to understand Bible and how we can live based upon biblical scripture. Yeah. Well, sometimes it is just plain obvious to know God's perspective, and sometimes as we read the Bible, it's just amazing how much more we can know and learn, and it's so wonderful. Let's read God's word. I think of the parable of the two sons, Matthew 21. Later in chapter 21, it's the parable of the two sons, one who said he would help but didn't, and the other son who said he would not help but did. I think that's an example of how important it is that we do things for God's kingdom ultimately. And that's a part of knowing that it's not just a matter about what we want and our prayers and saying that we want something. It's a matter of actually doing something that is kingdom work. Now, that can be in prayer, I think. It can be in the support of people who are doing God's work. And now people are getting more and more, impoverished, because there just is not enough money to go around. And that applies to the churches. There's not enough money to go around. There's not enough money for missionaries, for people who are doing God's work in your community. So, examine how you can donate even just a little bit to the people who are doing God's will in your community. Now, sure, pray about it, because You want your dollars to be used effectively and then do something in the way of donating to those people who you can understand are doing God's work here on earth. It's something that we all have a discernment about, and we all get to figure out what is going on. We do it with people. We do it with government. What is our government doing? Are they doing things that are good for people and God's will? All sorts of agencies doing this and that is recording people's phone conversations a godly thing or not? Is what the Federal Reserve doing a good thing or not? Is it godly to print money? Well, this is going on. There are Federal Reserves. Well, they're not called Federal Reserve. They're called a national bank. And that is effectively what the Federal Reserve is, because they give money to the government and also to industry. And that's going on all over the world. There are national banks that print money, and they're all privately held. So we have this going on in the world, and we get to also figure out, is it godly or is it not godly? Well, that's another question for another day. But we have things that are going on around us. We have so much information. Much of it is conflicting, and much of it is confusing for us, because when a conflict comes along, it makes it hard to discern between truth and what is not true. When there's conflicting information, often it makes us unable to act, and that's one of the things that's going on right now. We have conflicting information that is making us unable to act. It happens in the news. It happens in government agencies. It happens between people. And then we get just kind of frozen. We can't do anything because we've been told two different stories about the patterns that are going on. What are we going to do about the patterns of capitalism or of communism? We can see that they're in conflict, but how is it going to affect us? Well, everything makes structural changes if we follow it through. And then we get to see, are we creating a dictator like Caesar or Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or Mao? These are all dictators that have gone on through life and have harmed the people of their country. But what are we supporting right now? That's something which we all have to talk about and figure out the truth. And what are we doing to promote God's will in our community? Well, there are agencies and government functions all around us, and we get to support some that are good and healthy, and we get to talk about the things that are not good and healthy. We have agencies that we never expected were going to be powerful, but they are. We have the United Nations going on, and there's a question of, are they going to require a medical passport? Will our country require a medical passport? These are all questions which we have a chance to either embrace or resist right now. And there's so much propaganda that is telling us to do one thing or another, and we have to figure out, where do we stand in it? Is there a position that the biblical principles would support? Would the biblical principles support adding vaccines to the blood or not? We have lots of things that the people do not believe in, and they go and protest by the hundreds of thousands, yes, in the capitals of the world. And you know how much response it has made by our governments? Not much. Hardly any response at all. The governments do what the politicians are saying it's going to do, or maybe the money matters. say it's going to do. We have conflicts going on in our countries, between countries, in our communities. It is something that we all get to figure out, how are we going to support or oppose it? Now, this doesn't mean we support it or oppose it physically, but it might. Just in talking to people is a matter of support or opposition. When we talk to people in church, is it support or opposition? We all have something that we contribute to the community. And so it will do good for us to understand what our position is in Christ and see how that is supporting or opposing the kingdom of God. Well, we all have the things going on around us, just like we've had things going around us in the world. There have been, I just said this, protests around, and the police shooting protesters with rubber bullets. It seems to be the way that countries go to support whatever it is the politicians say that they demand. And that's protesting that goes on in Western governments, but in Eastern governments, they can take an authoritarian approach, just like Iran did when there were, let's see, this was March of 2024. There were thousands, tens of thousands of especially women protesting the hijab that was required to be worn just so. And that was in Iran. And you know what the government of Iran did? They sent their military out, their armed police, and they shot and killed about 550 people in Iran. That's more what happens in Eastern countries. It's not a Western tradition to shoot the protesters, but it happens around the world. And we have to realize that as we bring in the influence of certain countries into America, the people that we bring in are going to be more inclined to follow a certain pattern of living, a certain pattern. And that's something we get to understand now before we bring these people into America. It's something which is going on right now. Now, we have a tradition of certain freedoms in Great Britain and Australia, but they have given up some of their rights and freedoms, and now what's going on? Well, the police are shooting the protesters with rubber bullets. So they have given up some of their freedoms, and we get to see what's going to happen here in the United States. In the United States, there's a great movement to eliminate firearms from the civilians. That's going on across America. And another thing that's going on is ammunition shortages all across America. These shortages, it is said, are happening because China is controls a component of gunpowder, and China is not selling it to the civilian market that supplies the United States with ammunition. So we get to kind of see what's going on. Do you know what's going on? I don't. But we know what it can mean. I mean, isn't it obvious when a country stops the sale of ammunition to another country? Maybe they have something in mind. Of course. That's just so obvious. And there have been countries in the world where China has left off shipping containers. Oh, that happened around Manila in the Philippines. They had shipping containers full of arms and ammunition. Anyway, that's the reports. And the PLA, People's Liberation Army, uniforms that were shipped to the Philippines around Manila. And so what were they waiting for? I know there have been reports about cargo containers being buried in the United States deserts and in Mexico. There are reports. Now, I have found people that have heard the reports and agree with that was going on. Yes, in America. Yes, in Mexico. And they are waiting for the People's Liberation Army of China to use the supplies, arms and ammunition, and PLA uniforms. Well, I've tried to look it up, and I can't find it. I remember hearing the articles on the news, but it's not in the archives anymore. I can't find it. And the people who I have talked to, I've talked with ex-law enforcement people, and they say, oh yeah, that happens. And they would not be surprised if there were cargo containers of Chinese military equipment and such as that, that have been buried in our southern United States in the deserts, and in Mexico in the desert, just waiting to be used. Of course, we can't, well anyway, I can't find it. I've tried to find it, I looked, and it just is not available to me. But the people in law enforcement that I have talked to either remembered it or are familiar with how the news disappears. And I don't know what's going on, but I know that we have questions. We have questions about all sorts of things, and one of them is why there are so many millions of Chinese that have crossed our southern border. Many of the millions of Chinese that have come across our southern border are of military age, and they have a fitness and a bearing that a military person would have. But is this for sure what we know? Well, we don't know for sure, and we don't have any information that confirms it for sure. But we have questions, and we can see how there could be a certain disorder and chaos coming to America. And we have to figure out how we are going to get through a time of difficulty in America if these things happen. Well, every one of us needs water, food, and warmth. We need to be a part of a community. We need to have our Bible and our hymnals so that we can continue with our and restore our spiritual relation with God. So that's something we all can look at. Maybe we will want to have a Bible in a different language to give to somebody. I don't know the answer. All I know is we're going to try to promote the kingdom of God as best we know how. And that has to do with loving people. And it also has to do with a realistic understanding of what could be going on in our country, in our community, in the people that we know and love, family and friends, and the people within our community. So look at what could happen. We know that there have been computer hacks that have gone into plenty of systems in America. There have been attacks on our normal structure. There have been probes into our food delivery and water delivery systems. We know that there could be quite a few dangers coming our way to cause disorder and chaos in our country, just like it has been in other countries, on other continents. There is a movement of chaos and disorder that could spread to America. Now think about how you're going to get through it and be faithful to God in the midst of difficulties. There have been plenty of people, including Daniel the prophet, in the Bible who have had their country occupied, and they still are faithful to God. They're examples to us as to what we can do and ought to do if we face hard times. But we also want to have some food and not just rely on the ravens to supply our food. I'm not really laughing. Yes, I am, because people think that God is going to feed us, and of course God will feed many of his people, but he does it in a way that we don't know or expect. And so what we do is, when we know that we can feed ourselves, we want to do what we can to preserve our life so that we can proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature, every person that we run into. And that we do in Jesus' name. I want to thank you for listening today, and God bless you. Remember to pray for the many people who need prayer.